Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and the words that I utter be guided by you in Jesus' name. Amen. Interesting how the children's story was impressed by this special day. Then the song and the announcement also was focused by the special day. And so what makes this day so special? What do you think? A gift? Yeah. A special gift? And that led me to the concept of the title here, a never-ending quest for love. Every year we have this theme of this day, Valentine's Day. Why February 14? Why? Simply a matter because the Catholic Church decided that that was be a good day, that was basically, they felt, the day where Valentine, a bishop of the Church, experienced the martyrdom. And so, I did some research, which is not that difficult. You go on to Google and you have Valentine, you have many stories. And the problem is not every story is the same. It's a lot of legends. And really, the legends becomes really interesting in the 13th century. For the first time in the 13th century, 700 years ago, this Saint Valentine was associated with love. Love for the opposite sex. Now, the bishop was not allowed to do it, so it has nothing to do with the bishop. But in England, they developed a story that makes it more attractive and interesting. And so from that time on, it became a romantic story associated with this day. And over the years, it gets more and more and more, you know, interesting. And of course, not a few days ago in Russia, there's one of the leaders that spoke against Valentine's Day. Because in the West, things have become so corrupt that here people are sending Valentine's men, you know, to one lady, another lady, another lady. And we have nothing to do with that type of Valentine. He says, you know, in our tradition, we have it in June, a special day in which families are being honored, husbands and wives and whatever. Interesting. So they didn't want to be affected by the decadence of the West. Interesting. So, this saint died. The day is approximately 270 years after Christ. And it's now blown up. You can't avoid it. TV, you know, internet. You don't have a TV, but we have the internet. And there you have it, all the time. And here it is, what are you going to do about it? You know, if you look at the images, you see all kind of hearts. Love, I love you. Yeah. Then Cupids, you know, they have the arrows. And that gets even more exciting. And there it is. This is the time of Valentine. Roses. Now, you know, sometimes in the past I gave a nice card. But after this study, I had a hard time to sending cards. But my dear sweetheart knows that I love her. And not only on Valentine's Day. In fact, she beat me yesterday at the opening of the Sabbath. It was a nice basket. And on the outside, all kind of hearts. And then I opened it, and real organic figs. Now, I love figs. And then, you know, frequently after a meal, I like to have some kind of cracker. And she made special crackers for me. Now, normally she doesn't make crackers, but now she... So I really appreciate, dear, this gift. And, you know, this is difficult to beat. But, you know, the world goes on, and many people today hope to experience something very exciting. But will it be an exciting thing? That depends. That depends. And, well, maybe they get chocolate, you know, their little chocolate hearts. Or whatever. But the statistics indicated that in 2013, on the average, a person spends $131 on Valentine's Day. Wow! That's really something. And, you know, what is today the definition? And the definition of love, you know, what is it? Romantic love, something very, very special. It depends on feeling. And maybe today there will be a special event that people feel very, very good about it. Some people say, you know, this type of love today, I fall in love. As if you can't help it. Or love at first sight. Now, my wife can tell a whole story of whether it was love at first sight or not. I'm going to not to elaborate on this. But, you know, our encounter made an impression on me. And therefore we stick together. So, what had to do with it? A lot of feeling, sensation, whatever, depending on circumstances and whatever. And it is very, very fickle. We don't know this. This is the world. The world, the world, the world. And everywhere you hear it. And what is it? If you please me, I will please you. And if you don't, I don't have love for you. The world's love is selfish. Some have described it, and I found one statement. You are attracted to me. Be nice to me. Meet my needs and love for me, and I will return this love to you. The world's love is based on what? Getting something from somebody else. And the world doesn't give love when it doesn't benefit you. Very, very selfish. You know, another picture is, you find it in 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17. Let us turn now to the scriptures. John 2, verse 15 through 17. And here you find a beautiful contrast between the love of the world and the love of God. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So there's quite a contrast. Now, what type of love is this that John talks about? Yeah? Because there are pretty things in the world, but not in this. And then it goes on, for all that is in the world. And here it defines what type that generally is associated with the world. Love of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Now, what is now the lust of the flesh? The word here is Jesus uses also in the Sermon on the Mount. If you see a woman or a man and you lust after them, you have already committed what? Adultery. So you see here is the lust of our carnal nature, and specifically it focuses here on the body. And there's a lot of things in the world that are harmful for the body. And all those things, whether it is food or sensuality or things and all kind of things, they are destructive. Now, what about the lust of the eye? Now, the eye, the impressions through the eye, where are they going to? Immediately to your mind. Here it is, the mind, the mental dimension. And so here is a craving of the body, the carnal craving, but the mind has also its cravings. And so here then, you see it, you read it through your eyes, the stories, and then it creates mental images, it creates all kinds of sensations in the body. Internet, the TV, all kinds of things. And it is all to the destruction of your mind and your body. And then the pride of life. The things that you are proud of. And yet, it is not from the Father. Now, I can be proud of my wife. And I can show you all the things that she is doing. But why should I do this? Because there may be here a gentleman that is not as fortunate as I am. So why should I show off? She knows how I appreciate her. And people can see it because we love each other. But I don't need to summarize all those things, do I? Oh, a car, you know. I have a special type of car. And I can get verbose about this car. But why should I? Then the job. And all kind of things. We can show and be proud of it. But all those things will pass away. What does the Bible say? And the world is passing away, in verse 17, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. It is doing what is pleasing to God. And not destroying our body, destroying our minds, showing off with all kind of things. Friends, that is not. Oh, that is what the world wants to do. But that is not what we should do. And so, you have now, you can follow me on the outline here that I gave you, because, you know, you want, you know, I always want to give people homework. And this afternoon there is nothing to do. You go into the blizzard. So why don't you reflect upon those things? Especially on, quote, Valentine's Day. If this is a day to reflect upon love and our relationship, I think this is a beautiful time. Do you think so? Think about it. Do it together. And then, the rest of this morning, I like to reflect upon the biblical view of love. And that's important. Now first, let us look here, Jesus' counsel. Jesus' counsel, actually, you find there in the book of Revelation. You go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, and here is a message to the church. And that was the church in John's time. You know, of all the writers, you find who speaks most about love? John. Now you find it, and I looked at the whole New Testament yesterday, and you look at Matthew, yes, a few statements. Mark, Luke, John. Now then, of course, you have Paul have a beautiful oration to the Corinthians about what the definition of love is. But if you count the number of times that the word love is being mentioned, it's John that shines out. And then the first message that Jesus gives to his church is the message to the Ephesus church. The church of the first century, towards the end of the first century. And what is the condition now? And we may ask ourselves, how do we measure up as Fairplane Church to this church? Let us look here. To this Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, writes, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And also you have preserved, persevered, and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Now, would you not like to be a member of that church? I mean, it's very, very good. You know, patience, they work hard, and they cannot stand evil. They correct people, you know. And then their perseverance, patience, labored, and don't get tired of the evangelistic meetings. You know, there's another meeting, and even no, they enjoy that. But here it is. Nevertheless, even if you're so good, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And by the end of this morning, I hope that we understand fully what this means, our first love. What does that mean? And then, there is this, you know, the remedy then, is in verse 5. Remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Interesting here. So in other words, what do they have to do? They have to do something to have to recapture. They have to work on it to recapture that first love. Think about your own experience for those who have been married and are married. You know, are you still reflecting upon the glimpses in the beginning? Or have you sat down for the long haul and then you get retirement and then you help each other with the aches and the pains and then you pass away? Or is there still the appreciation for whatever you do, whatever she does? Does she get complaints? Nothing at all? Or do you find still the time of compliments? I guess women are sensitive to the things. More than men, perhaps. But then here, you want to have the reward? The reward will be, if you capture that first love, what do you do then? Let him hear. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, midst of the paradise of God. Now, where's the paradise of God? In heaven, are you sure? What is the evidence that that the paradise of God is there. You know the evidence? Paul was there. Remember? Unless the story is simply something of his imagination. He doesn't even know whether he was in body or in the spirit, but he was there. He saw it and he heard things that were so beautiful. See, that is the reward. If you capture that first love, that's the price that the Lord gives you. Now, sometimes people say, you may not talk about prices. Listen, I mean, why does the Bible say that? They are there to rejoice of what is before us. Because this world is not something very easy. Look how many disappointments you may have had. And so, let us now look here up the Bible. And, you probably know that Bible, and that is in point number 8 there, has three types of love. And in the Greek it is very careful, clear, but not in the English. We put everything together. And agape, it's a total unselfish form of love. And you find it in John 3:16. For God, what? So loved the world that he did what? He gave. Yeah. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. So here is something about the nature of God. He gave. He gave. Well, ours, that we've seen here, we got. And if we get enough, then we respond. No. God gave. For to whom? To his church? To the world. The wicked, the terrible, cruel individuals, the oppressed, all of this God gave. God gave, God gave. So God isn't saying, hey, are you good or bad? No, he gave the greatest sacrifice that ever could make. And that is now this unselfish love, this agape. And in the book of John is full of this. Every time that the word love is there, this agape. And there it is. This love, Jesus demonstrated, because when God gave, he doesn't spell it out here, but he gave, and what was the result? The crucifixion of his Son. The crucifixion of God himself. Can we imagine, I've had frequently reflected upon it, and it is impossible to think about it. Because if we had all the power, we would have wiped out humanity and started over again. That is our carnal nature. Friends, the second one is filio, brotherly love. And you find it specifically in Matthew 10:37. He who loves father, mother more than me is what? Not worthy of me. And he who loves sons and daughters more than me is not worthy of me. So putting your family first before the Lord who gave. That's not the way to do it. Because then you miss something, the greatest source of love, which is God himself. And so this is marvelous here. And then finally you have another one, Eros. And Valentine is generally focused on that kind of dimension. That's a kind of a physical love. And you find this in the book of the Songs of Solomon, you find out dimension. But all of those are a part of this, because there should be some kind of an attraction between, your wife and you. It's not saying, okay, now here's a female, okay, I have to do this. Okay, I'm making my commitment, I go for you. Bye. How long can you do this? Not long. You see, all of those are blended. And God has done those things. But the highest form of love is this agape. And if we go now to the dynamics of this, and the thing is, I have never preached a sermon on specifically love. You have some weddings, you illustrated a little. But the whole sermon focused, and this has to be done because it was Valentine's Day. Even if I don't care for what the Catholic Church did, you know, there are some positive things. And so, in regard to this, and I was really blessed. And in fact, this morning, I worked late at night, and then in the morning the Lord woke me up at 4 o'clock. And I worked on it further. And I had just in time for church, I could print it off so that at least I could share something for this. But, okay, let us now go back to John. And here it is. Where is now the source of this love? Beloved, let us love one another, for God, love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So where does the source of love come from? Love is of God. He's the source. And so friends, if we want to have the biblical dimension of love, we need to go to the source. If you don't go to the source, now, sometimes you hear about people, you know, they're very nice people, noble people, moral people, whatever, you know. And even as an Adventist, you know, if you have something like a husband or a wife, you can get married because they are moral people. They arrive at a certain plateau and never go to the depth. Because if you want to get the pure, best love, you have to go to the Lord. And not because people are moral. In fact, the best moral people are people who are steeped in the divine love. And don't fool yourself. Now, who will not have this love in verse 8? He who does not love God doesn't know God. No matter what you pretend. That God... Okay, so, for God is love. So again... Friends, if you align your life, and some of you can testify, if you line your life with somebody who is not lined up with the true God, well then, you do not love and do not know God. You missed out. Oh yeah, you may fit the world's definition. You may be the perfect lover according to the world, but you don't love. You miss out on the whole thing. So therefore, friends, be very, very careful with whom we get develop relationships. It's crucial. Because first of all, does that person know God? Does that person love God? Then things are secure. Because everyone who is married is that marriage is not always smooth sailing. Especially if you have people with a strong, you know, determination, strong willpower, and think clear, and you don't want to have the other one exactly be your image, no. The fun is that you can have nice thinking together. And then the sum total of your thinking is even something better. So now, verse 9. How did God reveal this love? In this is the love of God was manifest towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son to the world that we might live through Him. Again, God giving, God sending. And then verse 10, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Here it is. What is the propitiation? That is because we transgressed God's law. A penalty needed to be paid. God cannot change His law. Cannot change His standard, even if we try to lower the standard or whatever. No, this is God's standard. And so somebody had to pay the price. And therefore God sent His only one. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Friends, this is an incredible thing. If you read Spirit of Prophecy, specifically in regard to the Council of Peace, when Satan fell, and the agonizing conflict there, and there was a sacred Council of Peace between the Father and the Son. And then, again, this was repeated when the human race fell. And what to do? What to do with this? In our prayer meeting last Thursday, we reflected upon the terrible thing. I mean, the angels threw their crowns down on the floor and cried out because of the terrible thing that has happened. God's new creation, a unique creation that could propagate itself, was spoiled forever. And then the Father and the Son comes together. And then the Son made this pledge. And the angels wouldn't even like it. They wanted to take the place of Jesus. And Jesus said, no, can't be done. The life of an angel will not pay for our life. And so, friends, the price to be paid was infinite, infinite. No wonder when you read Desire of Ages, when Jesus died on the cross, the agony that the Father also had, because the Father also suffered. It was not a fair complete, you know, okay, fair, you know, do this quickly. No, it was agonizing when Jesus cried out in the Garden of Eden, oh Lord, may this cup pass. It was an agonizing. He could not see through the portals of death. Think about it for you and me. He paid the second death. Agonizing for you and me. Think about it, friends. It's incredible. And the more we reflect upon this, the less attractive disobedience becomes. Having our own way instead of Jesus' way. And so, there it is. Then, how should we respond to that gracious, incredible offer? Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And that's very clear. You know, we are created in the image of God. And if we are in the image of God, we should reflect this. So you can see here, you know, how important it is. Can we do this? Can we do this? You know, if you have a church where everybody is doing this, then you have a church that is complete harmony. Right? Because everybody is seeking the best for the other. And the best for the Lord. But this harmony is based, first of all, on our relationship with the Lord. And if our relationship with God is there, then our relationship with the rest will be good, excellent. And that's it. And what about if people do things that we don't like? If you're in the midst of controversies, what happened? Are we willing still to love that person? Even if the whatever the person does irks us all the time. What about God? Has Jesus been neglected by us many times? What does He think? Does He give up? No, He doesn't give up. If He had given up, we would be lost. So friends, if Jesus had such a patience with us, as unworthy as we are, we should certainly reach out to others. Even the spirit of prophecy talks about her unworthy life. Now, to me, I mean, whatever I read from her, I mean, it's fantastic. And she says, I'm unworthy. The unrighteousness in her life. Now, when I read it, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I said, how is this possible? And yet, you know, if those people consider themselves unworthy, what about us? And then Jesus are reaching out to us. Praise the Lord, friends. What do you say? This is fantastic. And so, but now here it is. Now John, very interesting, he goes on. Because in verse 12, he says, suddenly, nobody has ever seen God. So how can we now love Him if we have never seen Him? And so, he goes on. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. His love has been protected in us by loving others. So, in other words, if we love others more and more and more, the love of God will be more and more perfected. You know what I mean? This is an interesting dynamic here. And then in verse 13, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as a Savior to the world. Now, where is now the secret, because we haven't seen Him? In what way have we seen Him? Because of Jesus. Verse 14. This is one of the few times when the Bible simply says, you know, here is the Son, the Savior of the world. And so the whole world is basically saved through the sacrifice. And yet, how many appreciate this? How many appreciate this? At the end of every day, he said, Lord, praise your name. Because I'm alive. I enjoy every sense of the word. I'm alive. I can eat the food you have provided. I can associate with living beings. I can be an instrument in your hand for salvation of others. What a privilege it is. He calls us ambassadors. It's better to be an ambassador of Jesus than an ambassador of Obama. And the longer he goes, the more criticism he gets. But Jesus, it is marvelous to be His ambassador. And so, friends, things shall continue here. Without seeing God, verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So here you see the dynamics. If you confess Jesus, testify about him, the relationship between you and the Father is improved. Isn't it interesting? This whole dynamics. And so Jesus is the focal point. To go to Jesus, to go to God, it's through Jesus. Now, sometimes you hear, even in our church, sometimes you know, yes, Lord, bless us and thank you for all the things. Amen. Every prayer should be guided in the name of Jesus. He is the mediator. The only way to God is through Jesus. Think about it. Therefore, Jesus says, pray in my name. Now, one person said, yeah, I don't want to be like the Pharisees to repeat all the time the same thing. Listen, I mean, who told us to do this? Jesus. So, in heaven, things are so magnificent that the angels, and we will say, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Now, how is this possible? Because of the magnificence of our Savior. We're so overwhelmed. But because of our sinful nature, we are not used to this thing. Friends, there it is. And verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And who he abides in love abides in God and God in him. Marvelous. Marvelous. Now, what is the result of God's love in us? Verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have what? Boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in the world. And there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Here it is. We will have a boldness to do what? To speak for Jesus. In the day of judgment, the last days, because he, as he is, so we are in the world. And therefore there is no fear. We don't need to be afraid of this kind of love. See, this fear is not fear God. It's a different type of love. Here it is, the love of God has been perfected that we may have boldness. We can have boldness all the time to the Lord. No fear at all. No matter whether we have fallen, we go back to him and we clearly see him. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. And then, verse 20, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must first love his brother also. So friends, if there is any friction among us, that needs to go. That needs to go. And then it reveals clearly the unity that God has in his church. Then, how does faith relate to loving human beings? Verse 5, chapter 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begots, also loves him who is begotten of him. Now think about that. Let us just explain this here. Everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. Now, who is beside myself? Who is now begotten of him? Who is begotten of him? Yes? But also, everybody else here. Remember? Whoever believes that Jesus the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. See? Therefore, your Bible has it with capital and with small. Everyone who loves him who begot God, also loves him, here, our church, who is begotten of him. You see the point? Very important. So therefore, there is nothing that would be an obstacle to you and me, to each other. And by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So if we are faithful to the Lord, if we keep his commandments, if we have life pleasing to him, well then, we love God. See, all the time here. And it is a commandment. And so by doing, not by faith only, but by doing, we love God. Then number 3. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Now why are they not burdensome? Because of love. You see, if we really love our Savior and appreciate what he did for us at the cross of Calvary, he shed his blood. Is it difficult to do things? Think about your courtship. Oh my, you did all kind of things. I hope you still do. Yeah. It's not difficult because you love her. You love him. And then, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And so, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Friends, this is beautiful here. Beautiful, those dimensions. Now, what does that have to do now with the love that you find in the book of Revelation? Let's go back here to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation here. Chapter 2. Verse 4. Here is the church that really, in verse 4, has left the first love. Remember, when you met the Lord for the first time, and you fell in love with the Lord, what was your experience? What was it? Blessing. And did you not want to share it? Oh, I tell you, I mean, what I want to share now, I don't think people appreciated what I told them. But some have thought I was mentally deranged or whatever. But I wanted to see the beauty that I experienced. I invited them to go to the Bible studies, And then I grow further, but the other ones not. How sad it is. How sad it is. You want to share it. And that kind of sharing, that kind of testifying, was gone here in this church. Oh yeah, they were very particular to be conservative, to be against, lying, pure doctrine and whatever. But there was something now missing. And that is the reason why John, the apostle of love, he speaks so much about it. He gives you here the whole trajectory of the mechanics and the dynamics of love. How you can get it and how you not get it. See, very, very important here. And so here I found a jewel. And think about this here. This is from Six Testimonies, page 422. The messenger of the Lord states, about the new church. But after a time, the zeal of the believers, their love for God and for one another, began to wane. Coldness crept into the church. Differences sprang up, and the eyes of many were turned from beholding Jesus as the author and finisher of their faith. Think about it. Okay, what happened now? The masses that might have been convicted and converted by faithful practice of the truth were left unwarned. Then it was that the message was addressed to the Ephesians church by the true witness. Their lack of interest in the salvation of souls showed that they had lost their first love. For none can love God with the whole heart, mind, soul, and strength without loving those for whom Christ died. God called upon them to repent and do the first work, else the candlestick would be removed out of its place. Now, keep in mind here, out of its place. So, if the candlestick is gone, what happened then? Candlestick is, what does it do? Light. So, if the light removes, darkness comes in. No matter how accurate you know how to explain the fundamental beliefs. Gone. See here the point? In the beginning, they were enthused for the salvation of souls. That's the first love. You are so infatuated with it, but you like to share it. You cannot keep it. Is not this experience of the Ephesian church repeated in the experiences of the church of this generation? How is the church today that has received the knowledge of the truth using this knowledge? Think about it. All of this, how are we using it? I mean, Ellen White talks about the Seventh-day Adventist church has the greatest depository of truth in the world. Outside is darkness. Oh yeah, they have some things, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and whatever. But the full truth about the final conflict, the full truth about how to escape the destructions that come upon the world, and every week it gets simply worse and worse. We haven't seen it. We haven't seen it. You know, friends, this is the thing. And so, look at the cross of Calvary. It is standing pledge of the boundless love and measureless mercy of the Heavenly Father. Oh, that all might repent and do the first works. When the church do this, churches do this, they will love God supremely and their neighbor as themselves. See how practical she brings it out here. That working for the salvation of others is an indication of the love of God in our lives. And if we don't work for the salvation of others, keep it in mind, then the love of God is not perfected in us. Very, very powerful. And what you see here now, the whole dynamics of this, you know, this development of God's love, it is by the reflection upon Jesus. See what God did. He gave, his gave. What do we give to our neighbors? Their friends and colleagues are not a part of the community of faith. You know? What do we do? Oh, I believe my salvation is by faith only. Faith that works. That's the key. And so friends, if we feel that we are not involved in some way in God's work, you know, then what then? We don't reflect the love of God. How can we let people perish for whom Jesus died? And we have the answer. We have the key. Friends, I think it behooves us today, especially to think about this. And every year when the world is celebrating the sensual experiences of love, let us think about this. But not only today, but may this be a new way. What do you say? Do you feel your need of having more of the love of God? Do you? May you see the hands? Are you planning to make this a priority in your life? Can I see hands? Praise the Lord. Because that is... And I myself, who preach this, has to do this also. To look at Calvary daily and say, Lord, I'm not worthy. But you are worthy. And no matter what people will say, I try to share it. May God bless us. And may the Holy Spirit revitalize us, because we have talked about revival and reformation. Don't you think that this is an important part? Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the amazing grace and love that you have revealed in your words. And yet frequently we read over those passages as it are common things and we just read it. But Father, help us to reflect upon this special gift at how you gave your dearly beloved son simply to be maltreated by a wicked generation. Oh Father, may we never come to that place that we consider sin as something common, but learn us to hate it. And may the hate of this sin bring us closer to you. And also, Father, gives us compassion with all the people that you made around us, because you are their creator. And may we pray for marvelous opportunities to reach those people before it is too late. Thank you so much, Father. And guide us throughout this day and this week. And now to him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.